The gospel for this service of lessons and carols comes to us from Luke chapter 1. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably upon his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Nine months is a long time to be quiet. This is what happened to Zechariah, whose story is found in this first chapter of Luke's gospel. It is part of the broader story of the birth of Jesus that we hear during these Advent and Christmas seasons. Zechariah, as many of you know, I'm sure, was married to Elizabeth, a kinswoman of Mary. They were a faithful old Jewish couple who had never been blessed with the gift of a child. This was a source of sorrow for them. Zechariah was from a priestly family, and this meant that periodically he would make the journey to Jerusalem to serve with his cohort of priests in the temple for several days. It was during one of these weeks of service, when he was alone in the sanctuary of the temple, that the angel Gabriel appeared to him with a startling announcement. "You and Elizabeth will have a son," the angel said, "and you will name him John. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of Elijah, and he will prepare many for the Lord." Zechariah was alarmed, and he was filled with fear, the text reads. He wanted further verification. "How can I know this is true?" he asked the angel. "We are old. How am I supposed to trust this message?" "Because this promise comes from God," Gabriel answered him. "And because you don't yet trust this promise, you will be mute. You will have no voice until it is fulfilled before your very eyes." So for 9 months, 40 weeks, however they measured gestation in that day, Zechariah was silent. Imagine that. Through all of the preparations, through all of the expectation, even the apprehension, through all their new experiences as parents-to-be late in life, Zechariah had no voice. When I hear this story, it is almost always interpreted as punishment, his muteness. "You doubted, so you must suffer." Sounds kind of biblical. And that may be the case, but I kind of think there's more involved here than simple punishment. Maybe silence is what Zechariah needed in order to believe. Without a voice, he had to watch, to listen, to pay attention in a different way. As Elizabeth's body underwent all sorts of changes, he watched and listened. As their community responded to this miraculous event, he soaked it all in. When Mary came to stay with them, an unwed, pregnant mother in need of a safe place. He observed these two expectant women caring for each other. I'm not suggesting that Zechariah was passive during this time. My guess is with two pregnant women in the house, he had plenty to do. But without speech, I bet he experienced it in a different way. His silence created space for him to take in all of the goodness and all of the grace, the miracle of life. As the baby grew in Elizabeth, something grew in Zechariah as well. Living faith. We know this because the words that we read as our gospel text today are Zechariah's words. They are his canticle, as it has come to be called. When John was born, Zechariah's lips were unloosed. Filled with the Spirit, he shared the wisdom and the understanding that had come to him during his hiatus from speech. He sang a song of blessing and praise to God, the one who remembers and fulfills promises. He spoke of Abraham and of David and of God's faithfulness to his family throughout the generations. He spoke of serving God without fear. Zechariah had been so afraid of Gabriel's message, unable to imagine it, unable to trust it. But after watching God at work in the life of his family for so many months, after paying attention to God's goodness, Zechariah could speak of serving God without fear. He looked to the future with hope. He had hope for his newborn son. We hear it in his words, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins." Zechariah had hope for his son, and he had hope for his people. The words poured out of him, "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace." This hope was not something that Zechariah conjured up on his own, like positive attitude. His hope was deeply rooted in the soil of divine promise, God's steady, ongoing work to bring the light of salvation to all people. This is our hope. We are rooted in this same soil, in these same promises. We tell the stories of God's faithfulness to our ancestors to remind ourselves that this same God is working in our lives today. As individuals and as a community, we watch and listen and pay attention to all of the ways that God's goodness and grace carry us from day to day, the breaking in of God's salvation. Together we trust in Christ our Savior. For we have been promised that there is no fear or pain that is too great for Christ to heal, that there is no place too barren for Christ to bring forth life and growth, that there is no darkness inside us or outside us that is too thick for the light of Christ to scatter. And so with Zechariah and Elizabeth, with Mary and Joseph, with all the angels, we sing our praise and thanks to God. Amen.